afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Orla.
And I'm Andrea. And yes, a very happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Coming up on today's show, we'll have some simple and inexpensive ways to freshen up and brighten up your home this spring with designer Stephen St. Ange and Grey Divorce. Couples are choosing to split later in life. This has become a lot more prevalent in Canada, and we're going to explore this with Dr. Lori Petito.
Yes, but first, it is indeed, my fellow Irish people, St. Patrick's Day, and a very happy St. Paddy's Day to you all. Now, you don't have to be Irish to celebrate today, as we know. And if you're looking to bring a little Irish cheer into your home, then maybe no better way than by mixing up a good old Irish cocktail. Arnaud Savard is the manager of Bar Bello on Saint Laurent Street. He joins us now. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well.
Well, I'm sure as we're chatting right now, people are on those floats, they're cheering their Guinnesses in the bars, and everyone's having a fabulous time. So let's talk about some of the key ingredients to have on hand for making Irish cocktails if you're at home right now.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they have had a couple of Guinnesses, but it's always time to bring out the whiskey as well.
Oh, for sure. Oh, no. Come on.
So whiskey's been around since forever in Ireland, since the 12th century, I think, was the first record of like distillation in this region. So I'd say one of the first things to have on your back bar at home for that would be an Irish whiskey. There is the Busker or Jameson, which are very common. In all SAQs across the island.
Yes.
So they might be
sold. They might be a bit sold out, though. You might have to plan ahead, especially today.
That's it for sure. So a couple of cocktails that we can do with that. If you're still on the Guinness, there is the Black Velvet, which is known all around.
So tell us about a Black Velvet, just for anyone who's not familiar.
Yeah, Black Velvet is a delicious blend of Guinness and cider. So it's gonna come in kind of cut that Guinness out of your palate and just bring it up the acidity a little bit. Cider is also a produce that is done in Quebec quite a bit because of all those beautiful orchards we got.
Yes.
So it'd be the perfect cocktail to kind of start your afternoon.
But I would jump in here, Arnaud, and say, from previous experience in my earlier years, don't have too many where you're mixing the Guinness and the cider, because I could tell you stories.
I'm sure you could.
It can get to you. It's quite sparkly.
Arnaud, what is this cider Guinness ratio in a Black Velvet? Like, is it 50-50 or you just eyeball it? Like, what are we doing here?
To be quite frank, you can vary the ratios. Traditionally, it's going to be a half and half. But what I like to do is just put a quarter of cider. That way, it's way more on the Guinness, but it still brings that tartness from the apple into the mix.
Yes.
So it's going to make it a bit more balanced than if you do a half-half proportion. So just take your pint of Guinness, drink two sips, and add some bit of cider in there.
Oh, you're hilarious. So you mean you order a full Guinness, and then when it gets half full, then you throw in the cider. I was going to do it sensibly with half-half, but obviously, you know.
Sorry, Orla.
I'm not the expert anymore.
After all, just go with your heart, as we say. Pour with love.
So, Arnaud, very important question. Now, one of my favorite drinks is an Irish coffee. And I do not count those sugar calories dangling on the edge of that rim. I want the whole experience. So talk us through the ingredients and how to make a fantastic Irish coffee.
Okay. For the perfect Irish coffee, you have multiple ways to go ahead because not everybody has the same equipment at home.
Right.
What's important is that you have coffee on hand, that you have whiskey on hand, and that you have some cream. Because the cream just brings all that comforting deliciousness.
But what type of cream? Are we talking the squirty one out the can, or are we talking about cooking cream, 35%,
10%? We're talking 35%.
Okay.
So have those three ingredients, and then if you have it somewhere, my little secret, which is not Irish, but is the thing I love the most to add, is Frangelico, which is an Italian liqueur.
Okay.
Frangelico is a chestnut Italian liqueur, and it's going to bring just a bit of those festivities back into the mix.
Interesting.
Festivities back into the mix. I'm almost afraid to ask. What happens?
It's my little secret touch. So to get started on that, you start with your whiskey. Usually you will have a measure of 2 ounces of whiskey. Irish whiskey, you can have Busker, Jameson, Tillamore. Redbreast is a really good one. But the Busker is the one you'll find everywhere. Good quality price. The grains used are awesome. So it's a good whiskey to start with.
Okay.
After that, you'll add either an espresso shot, either an Americano, which is espresso and hot water, or filtered coffee, whatever you have at home.
Right.
My favorite way to do it is you'll have a double long espresso.
Okay.
Which comes up to about 90 milliliters of coffee.
Okay.
After that, you'll add your 35% cream on top. And that little secret that I said in the beginning, the Frangelico,
what you do
is you add the Frangelico into your cream before topping
it.
So that cream is just going to have that extra spice of the chestnut.
I was going to say, Arnaud, for anyone listening that doesn't know what Frangelico is, could you describe that flavor, please?
Of course. Frangelico is like a... We all know what Ferrero Rocher tastes like, right?
Yes, Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah. That's basically Ferrero Rocher as an alcoholic and in liquid form.
Righty-ho! I'm writing it on the shopping list.
Okay. So,
and it's easily findable in any SAQ as well. It's a product that's been around for a while.
So we're mixing this directly into the cream and then we're topping that on top of the coffee.
That's it.
Yes.
Some people like to add a sugar rim outside of your glass for the coffee. Just to have that extra kick of sweetness.
Yes, but don't you do that first, though, because otherwise you're turning the glass upside
down
with all the liquid in it. I would recommend doing it before.
Or else it's going to fall everywhere.
All right.
So what
or you
else?
Can add it for your second coffee, too.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've got a funny feeling. You're quite good fun, actually. I don't know, just throwing it out there. So what else is quite popular on a day like St. Patrick's Day when it comes to Irish cocktails?
If you're a fan of cocktails in the style of the Manhattan or the Old Fashioned, so that's a spirit-forward, rounder style of cocktail. You can have an Emerald. An Emerald is a twist on the Manhattan, but usually you'd use an Irish coffee. So an Irish whiskey. Sorry, I'm still on the coffee.
How many have you had is my next question.
Yeah, you know, it's still it's the afternoon on St. Patrick's Day, right?
Exactly.
So the Emerald is a cocktail using 3 ingredients. It is Irish whiskey, it is sweet vermouth, and then it is orange bitters.
Interesting combo.
Some people which are cocktail enthusiasts will have already all those ingredients at home.
Okay.
But they're easy to find. If not, orange bitters can be found at a supermarket even.
Oh. So, Arnaud, just before we let you go, what's happening right now at Barbello on Saint Laurent?
Oh, you guys are
right.
Okay, sorry.
Right now at Barbello, Saint Laurent is always a busy street during during Saint Patrick. So, all day we're gonna offer Irish coffees. We're gonna have some. We're still keeping to the theme, you know. Barbello is an Italian place, but we still want to bring out those festivities. So
you're making it Irish today.
Is Irish on St. Patrick's
so
Day.
So the Irish coffee is going to be flowing all day, and we sell it at $12 for the day with a generous portion of Busker Irish whiskey.
Fabulous. That's what I like to hear. Arnaud, thank you so much for joining us, and happy St. Patrick's
happy
to
St.
you.
Happy St. Patrick's
thank
Day.
You very much, ladies. You as well.
That's Arnaud Savard, the manager of Barbello on Saint Laurent Street.
Come visit sometime.
We will. We love a good cocktail in case you hadn't gathered.
Yes.
Arnaud, thanks so much. That was a lot of fun. Hopefully we can do it again.
Yes, thank you very much.
Awesome.
Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Bye.
Ciao.
Coming up, some simple and inexpensive ways to freshen and brighten up your home for spring with designer Stephen Saint-Ange. But first, let's take a look at the roads.
Welcome back. I'm Andrea alongside Orla and a very happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Very exciting. And, you know, that also means the spring is only days away. And even though, you know, it does feel sometimes at this time of the year like it's a great time to bring change into your home, whether that's through a good clean or just wanting to brighten or freshen up certain areas of your home. Well, it doesn't have to cost a fortune either. And there's some simple things that you can do which have potential to go a really long way. Joining us now is home and lifestyle designer and the host of the podcast, The Driven by Design Studio, Stephen St. Onge. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because you might remember him as one of the designers on the hit TLC show While You Were Out. Hey, Stephen, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here. Hello.
So what do you think it is at this time of the year that often gives us that urge to make some changes in our home?
Well, I think people are tired of things being the same. We get through the winter, especially in Montreal, the winters are long and people want to change it up. I think you need a new attitude. You need to freshen things up, and it can be so easy to do, but people kind of get in their own way because they many times have a fear of change. But remember, change is good. It's a good thing.
Yes, it is. A lot of people are fearful of that. Also, people think, especially when it comes to changing things up in our homes, that it costs a lot. Now, I know that you are all about the power of changing our environments for the better and also doing it economically. Can you give us some tips there?
Well, I really feel that it's something that you can do in a short period of time, and anyone can do it no matter how big their house is, whether it's an apartment, a condo, a one-room studio, whatever it might be. Seeing things on a daily basis is something that you need to look at with a different perspective. So when you come home at the end of the day, looking at your rooms with fresh eyes. And one of the biggest things that I say to people, think about if I were coming to your house and I was coming to redesign something, I would come in and see the first impression. So I say, use your phone. Everyone's got phones. Take a picture of the first thing you see when you walk into your living room or your dining room or your kitchen and look at it through the lens of the camera. So it's getting it out of your own mind and seeing, you know, many times you kind of, you know, ignore the things that need to be dealt with. The clutter is there. The mess is there. The bills are piling up and you're not filing things away. But by looking at it through the lens of your phone or your camera, the trick is that it's getting it out of your mind and it's giving you a visual that's directing your focus into, wow, that doesn't look so good. Or, wow, that's really cluttered. I need to change this up. And I think that once you make it attainable, then you start to say, okay, if I clutter, you know, get rid of the clutter, if I reorganize and put stuff back where it needs to go, all of a sudden the baseline of my room is simplified. And I think that's what's overwhelming to people is they get so overwhelmed by the thought of doing it that they talk themselves out of it.
We just finished building a house, moved into it, and had a designer do it from, you know, top to bottom. But one thing I found very interesting through the whole process is trying to accomplish combining practicality with design. You know, it looks great, but is it practical and functional? How do you accomplish that?
Well, the idea that we're living in a time when social media is such an influence on people and people look at other people's spaces and they say, oh, I should have an Instagram ready living room or bedroom.
Yes.
And it has to be picture perfect. But
right.
The reality is we don't live that way. And so especially if we have a family, we know that the day to day of what life is like in the home is not picture perfect. And I try to tell people that it's not someone else's idea of what your home should be. It's what needs to be right for you as the individual living there. And that's why I started the podcast, because I really wanted to have an opportunity to use my experience as a designer who's worked with clients and worked in the media to say, this is what I would do. And to kind of bring that to a creative conversation to help everyday people who are in that state of mind of, you know, we're not living in the perfect space. Do we have to live in a perfect space? And the answer is no. The idea is that it really needs to be tailored to what's going to make your life easier, but also knowing that design and your environment has an impact on you in ways that you see, obviously, but also ways that you don't see. And that affects your energy. It affects your mood. It affects your attitude. If you come home to a messy house, it's going to affect your mind.
Oh,
and
goodness.
We need to change that.
I can't handle that. I cannot handle it. And I'm the type of person, I don't know about you, Andrea, when my husband thinks I'm crackers. When I leave on vacation, the house has to be perfect. You have to leave it perfect and tidy and everything put away. But nobody's going in, my husband says to me. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I need to know it's all in order. Are you the same, Andrea?
No, not even close. I wish I was. I come home and, I mean, it looks like a tornado's gone off, right? You're trying to get everybody out of the house. It's an early morning flight. And it's like, my husband's a lot more like you, thank God. So there's a balance there and it's not a complete disaster. So Stephen, for, you know, as you mentioned earlier, it is sometimes overwhelming when we want to make these changes in our home. How do you avoid feeling overwhelmed, and what's a good place to start?
I think you need to look at the rooms that you use the most. Obviously, kitchens are the heart of many homes, family rooms, living rooms, the rooms that you use the most that are shared by numerous people that need to be kept in order. I mean, I love what Orla said about, you know, you leave for vacation and you want to get everything put in place before you leave. And there's something to be said about that. So you come back to a fresh start. You're not coming back to stuff that was from a couple weeks ago. And once you get your house in order, as they say, and you get things to kind of live where they need to live and things are put away, you're able to create a baseline that's easy to maintain. And that's the whole thing. If you've got a busy schedule and you've got, you know, people going here, going there, and then all of a sudden things start to build up again, you want to be able to take that stuff and put it in its place and put it away. Because what it gives you is an organized sense of purpose. Everything has a place. And that goes a long way to helping your mental state, essentially, really feel that you're on top of things, really.
Right. Stephen, tell us about your podcast, The Driven by Design Studio.
What I was excited about when I started about 8 months ago now was really to talk about design and empowering people, because I've seen it. I've seen the power of change and how environments affect people in the television stuff that I've done. I've done magazine work where I've done befores and afters, and the power of someone coming in and seeing their home environment in a new perspective and from a fresh approach is just so uplifting and motivating that I thought that's a conversation we need to sit down and talk, you know, to people about, so that you can get out of your own way. Fear of change, like I said before, is something that people feel that they can't talk themselves out of. You know, they need to have somebody to help support them. But the other thing is that I really love that we can talk to people at the same time during the conversation of the show that are successful people that are living a life and sort of have elevated themselves to pursue what they want to pursue. And I think part of what my design philosophy is that if we create a home environment that's good to us, it's going to allow us to do the things in life that we want to do. And I firmly, firmly believe that.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. What are some of the most simple but yet powerful changes that you've seen?
What I love is that you can work with something you already have. So again, like on a Friday night, you could go in and change your living room around by simply moving the furniture around. And then the next thing is, you know, trying to shop your house. People have stuff. We all have stuff in closets or basements or, you know, in storage that you could repurpose into that room that you've rearranged so that you give it a fresh attitude. You get lamps from another room, or you get accessories that were stored somewhere else that you didn't really remember you had. But we have stuff that you don't have to go out and spend money on, but then you get a new look. And then you could say, oh, I could spend a little bit of money on throw pillows or, you know, coffee table books or simple things that make you happy without making you unhappy about breaking the bank. So I feel that there's plenty to work with within the home environment. And that's really what I try to remind people of is, again, when you're looking at social media, you think, I need to have everything be beautiful and new and perfect. But at the end of the day, you have things that you can repurpose and be creative with if only you could see it in a new way. And that's the fun part.
Such great advice.
Yes.
Stephen, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show today. I hope we can do it again soon.
Definitely. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, you too. That's home and lifestyle designer and the host of the Driven by Design Studio podcast, Stephen St. Onge. You can also find him on Instagram at Stephen St. Onge. Coming up, what is gray divorce and why is it becoming so prevalent in Canada? But first, the latest from the CTV Montreal newsroom.
Welcome back. I'm Orla alongside Andrea. Now, it turns out that it's becoming more common for Canadian couples to seek divorce later in life. According to StatCan, over the past three decades, the country has seen a rise in grey divorce. So couples aged 50 and up are now choosing to split. So what's going on here? And should we be concerned, Dr. Laurie Petitto? Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. Well, it's the gray divorce. True, couples divorcing later in life has become more and more common. In fact, it's about 50% more. So it's doubled since the 90s. So it is on the rise. There's no question.
What do you think is at play here? Like, what's going on? Are we just becoming more comfortable? Is it the baby boomers? Like, why?
Well, I think there are many reasons for this. There's many, many reasons. First of all, we live a lot longer, right? So we live longer. We live healthier lives. So we have many more years ahead of us. And many people don't want to spend those years in an unhappy situation. You've heard of the empty nest syndrome. You know, the empty nest could be a beautiful thing when you have a healthy marriage. But if you don't and you're unhappy and all your energy has been focused on raising the children and then the children move out, you're looking at your spouse and saying, who the hell are you? Like, I'm not happy here. This isn't for me. Or they want more for themselves. So, and these are the couples that have grown apart over the years when there's been such a focus just on raising the children. So oftentimes people will divorce later once their children are out of the house, once they don't feel the same obligation to keep the family together, et cetera. And they may, you know, kind of make that decision. But our society has changed too, because our attitudes towards divorce has certainly shifted over the years. It's become more socially acceptable. It's not stigmatized like it once was, even amongst older adults. Another factor, I think, is financial independence of women. You have women who are far more women in the workforce. They are financially independent. So they have more confidence to leave if they are in an unhappy marriage. They don't feel the necessity to stay because they can take care of themselves and they can take care of their financial needs. So that's certainly part of it.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot more talk, especially on social media, about personal fulfillment. You know, people are talking about self-care and self-love and all of that personal fulfillment that they want to get back. And I get it. Like, it's not, I'm not dissing it or anything, but it's just that with that exposure to a lot of talk about personal fulfillment, people might be looking at their lives and saying, am I personally fulfilled? Can I be more fulfilled? Is this relationship fulfilling enough for me to stay? So those are some of the, I think, some of the major trends or the major reasons why people are choosing to separate later in life.
But Laurie, do you think social media can also make the grass look greener? You know, for people who might be looking at what they see of other people's relationships online and think, hey, maybe I can, you know, maybe that theirs is better than mine and I can go find that.
Right. I'm not sure that that's the case as much for older people who are divorcing, maybe for younger people. But I'm not sure that it's about the grass is greener. Like, I've heard far more women, for example, say, I don't want to take care of anybody. I don't want to be married anymore. Like, the grass is greener without my partner in it. That's about it, you know. And in fact, statistically, women are the ones who are most likely to end a marriage. And that goes across the age categories. They are the ones who are most likely to end it. So, and research has shown that, you know, marriage tends to benefit men more than it benefits women, generally speaking. And if you look at the trends of remarriage, it's men who are more likely to remarry after a gray divorce than women. So they're not looking for a new partner.
Right.
Or a new husband. You know, they'd rather just be alone.
You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Orla alongside Andrea, and we are chatting with clinical psychologist and the host of the Passion with Dr. Laurie podcast, Dr. Laurie Batito, about the rise in gray divorce, which is couples that are aged 50 and up now choosing to split. So, Dr. Laurie, divorce at any age, never easy. But what are some of the unique set of challenges that comes with divorce later in life?
Well, you're right. There are challenges, and mostly I would say they are the legal and more financial considerations, because when a couple has been married 25, 30, 40 years, there are a lot more assets to divide, retirement savings to divide, pension plans, all kinds of things that have accumulated over the course of the marriage. So that might certainly be a big factor in that. Not to mention, of course, there's emotional challenges too, right? Because you have to navigate a new kind of new things that wouldn't have been present if you were younger. For example, now you might be retired or at your retirement age, or you have to figure out living arrangements. You have to deal with health issues on your own. So there is an impact that are specific to being older. And especially we're seeing older, like not just above 50, but over 65 getting divorced. So they are the ones who really are in that retirement phase of life, downsizing phase of life, and maybe facing some health issues, right? So there certainly is that. And for some women who have been stay-at-home moms or have not worked and have focused on raising the family, all in with the agreement, of course, within the relationship, they may be faced with other challenges because it's too late for them to go to work. Like they're, you know, you're 65, nobody's really hiring you. So you have to be able to be financially or feel at least financially secure enough to be able to leave a marriage.
Dr. Laurie, any advice for younger couples, you know, things they can do now to put the foundation in place to hopefully avoid, you know, going down this route later in life?
That's a good question. I think, first of all, when there are signs of trouble in a relationship, seek help early enough in the relationship. There's no shame in seeking couples therapy. I think everybody prior to marriage should probably have a few sessions of pre-marriage counseling, because there are issues, you know, there are issues of money and sexuality and things that come up, child rearing, that create conflict in a relationship. So you need to be on the same page. I would also recommend that you focus on the relationship. In other words, couples have kids, their focus tends to switch to just the children. So they prioritize the children, but they forget that the basis of the foundation of the family is the couple. So focusing on the couple and making sure you make time for yourselves, time to go out, time to enjoy each other, remembering that you are a couple aside from being the parents. So that certainly helps a lot as well. So,
Dr. Laurie, thank you so much for joining us. Always a great pleasure to have you on the show and chat to you.
Always a pleasure with you, ladies. Thank you.
That's clinical psychologist and the host of the Passion with Dr. Laurie podcast, Dr. Laurie Batito. Coming up, a favorite Montreal festival is back for another year, and we'll have all the details. But first, let's take a look at the roads.
Welcome back. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, my lovey. Cheers.
Cheers.
We need some Irish coffees here, Andrea.
Seriously. What's going on here? Welcome back. You're listening to Now Trending. I'm Andrea along with Orla. A lot of exciting things going on these days, you know, between St. Patrick's Day and the parade. And also I wanted to mention, the
the solar eclipse, this big eclipse that is coming up on the 8th of April.
Yes.
Mark Charan from Giggle sent me a note because, you know, everybody is very keen, especially being in Montreal, which is apparently one of the top locations to watch this eclipse.
Right.
Everyone's keen to watch it, and you have to do it safely, right? So we got a note from our friend Mark Charan at Giggles, and he apparently just got a huge shipment of Made in the USA solar eclipse glasses that are FDA and CE approved and recommended by NASA. So if you're looking for solar glasses, you can visit Mark at either his LaSalle or Laval Giggles locations or online at giggles.ca. Another very exciting event that is coming back to Montreal is the Festival de la Voix. It has returned to Montreal for its 11th edition this week, and it's on until April 19th. And to tell us more, we're joined by the festival's artistic director, Carrie Ann Coutts. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks so much. And how about a little Danny boy?
Oh, yes! Carrie Ann, after my own
Danny
heart.
Danny boy. The pipes are calling.
Yes, fabulous. You should come in and join us for an Irish coffee, Carrie Ann. You'd be most welcome.
Seriously.
I'll be right there.
Seriously, cheers. So, Carrie Ann, I know we've spoken with you in the past about this wonderful festival, Festival de la Voix, but for anyone who's not familiar, can you just tell us what the festival is all about?
Oh, yes, I would love to. Thank you. This is our 11th edition, and it's about bringing the community together. We're mostly on the West Island, these concerts, and it's about, you know, coming together to hear excellent Quebec artists sing all styles of music. So it's everything from Baroque to the blues. And we also have workshops as well.
Yes.
We have wonderful artists such as Martin St. Clair on the 20th and Nadia DeLauro, Rob Lutz. You know, Rob is a great folk artist with Rob McDonald, and Nadia's a jazz singer. And so, yeah, we have some Hallelujah is more of a Baroque concert with Ensemble Catrice, Ensemble Art Choral, and pardon me, that's at Salle Pauline Julien. So we're in some beautiful halls too.
Yes, do tell us about where exactly we can see some of these shows for the Festival de la Voix.
Yes, that's a great question. We're mostly based in Dorval. We consider that our home.
Right.
So we use the lovely Serge Nollet Auditorium, which is part of École Secondaire Dorval Jean 23. And that's where Karen Young is going to be singing, you know, the great, great jazz singer Karen Young. And my favorite bluegrass trio called Steel Rail. And we also have Martin St. Clair in that same hall. And then we're also in Pointe Claire. Do you know that beautiful church, Église Saint-Joachim, which is right on the point of Pointe Claire?
Okay.
It's just a gorgeous church. And we're doing a concert there called New Horizons, the music of Simon Leclerc. And Simon Leclerc is a wonderful Quebec artist who's known as an arranger, a composer. He's also conducted the Star Trek series in Los Angeles. He conducts the Montreal Symphony Orchestra for the pop series. And so we're honoring the music he's written with several vocal quartets, including one that I'm singing in. I'm so happy because it's a brand new quartet. A female vocal quartet.
Can you give us a couple of notes, Carrie Ann? I mean, you did such a great job with O Danny Boy.
We're doing Rose and Flows of Angel Hair and Ice Cream Castles in the Air and Feather Canyons Everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way. Beautiful arrangement.
Wow.
By the great Joni Mitchell too.
I love that song. I love that song. It's so full of, it's very touching when you hear that song.
Yes, I agree with you. And I find that this arrangement by Simon Leclerc is just so moving. And it features the voice of Monique Fauteux. And Monique used to sing with the famous Quebec group called Harmonium. And she has one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. So I get to sing with her all the time now, which really makes me happy.
Well,
and we also have, speaking of great voices, we have Connie Calder, who's a Juno Award-winning singer-songwriter.
Oh, right.
And she's going to be in Pointe Claire at the Cabaret on April the 19th. And so, you know, nice venues like that. And Rob Lutz and Nadia DeLauro and her band, they're going to be at Beaconsfield United Church. And they've created such a beautiful space in that church with moving chairs, you know, movable chairs, I should say, and just a lovely concert space. So we're looking forward to that as well.
Well, Kerri-Anne, and you also have a beautiful voice.
That's true.
Yeah, very beautiful. And so let me ask you that. Is this suitable for everybody in the family, or is this more adult driven? And the type of music I want to clarify with you, is it folk, jazz, classical, or all of the above?
All of the above.
Okay.
And I think your question's a really good one. You know, I brought my children to concerts from the age of 6 months. And we would talk about them beforehand, and I'd say, when you're at a concert, you know, you're not to speak, you're to listen. And, you know, when there's applause, then you can say, oh, I really like that song, and we can speak after. But I think it's a wonderful way. It's also a very affordable way, because children 14 and under all get in for free. So it's right. A wonderful way to expose your children to beautiful music of all styles.
Yes.
And they're really, really welcome to all of the concerts, actually. I think they'd all be suitable for children.
So, Kerri-Anne, the Festival de la Voix is now in its 11th year. How much has it grown over the years?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the first year we did it in 2013, we did it over one weekend, and now we're doing it over 4 weeks.
Wow.
So, so we've got wonderful workshops too.
Tell us a bit about the workshops.
Well, on the 22nd, we have this great local band in the St. Andabellevue Legion. And they're called DNR, and they're going to be singing and playing all the greatest rock tunes. And we're inviting people, we're calling it a workshop/concert. So we're inviting people to come and sing and dance with DNR. And then on the 30th, we have this wonderful singer. She's a soprano, but she's also a very fine choral conductor. Her name is Frédérique Petithomme. And she's going to be giving a workshop called Gospel for the Greater Good.
Oh,
at
sounds
Westview
amazing.
Westview Bible Church in Pierrefonds. And Frédérique is a really wonderful musician. And so that workshop is going to be affiliated with the concert that we're doing on April 5th called Hallelujah, which features, of course, the great Hallelujah Chorus by George Handel.
Well, I have to tell you a little story between you, me, and Andrea here now. When I was 9 years old, I sang at the Royal Albert Hall in London.
Wow.
The Hallelujah Chorus.
So can you sing us a few bars?
Oh, God. God, Kerri-Anne. I think it's time to go. Well. Oh, my God. Shall I try it?
I think you should try it. Go for it.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, my God. I probably lost my job now.
That was fantastic. You have such nice production. You should come and sing, Orla.
Seriously.
You should come and sing.
I need
Orla.
A fan, Andrea. I'm getting
oh
hot
my God,
right
look
now.
Look at you. That's amazing.
I was with 599 other kids, but I was chosen.
Not today.
Not today.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, but yes. Just to have that experience. I mean, that's what we're talking about. To have that experience of exposing your children.
Right.
To either
it's
to
fantastic.
Sing, you know, because there are wonderful children's ensembles all over the island of Montreal. And then bring them to concerts, because it opens their minds. It brings
yes.
them to places that they
yes.
won't get to unless they have an opportunity
that's
to,
right.
to experience live
yes.
music.
I agree with you 100%. Kerri-Anne, this has been such a pleasure. I'm getting a bit of an adrenaline rush here. I don't know if it's an anxiety rush.
Kerri-Anne, you have your first singer lined up for next year.
Well, I'm so glad, Orla. I hope you'll come out and sing.
Yes. Oh, goodness. Okay, give me a year to think about it.
Will do, with pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kerri-Anne. Absolute pleasure. And happy St. Patrick's to you.
Oh, and you too, Orla, and to you, Andrea.
Thank
just
you so
lovely
much.
To be with
Thank you.
You.
Likewise.
That's Kerri-Anne Coutts, the Artistic Director of the Festival de la Voix. And thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully the cats weren't squealing too much when I was pulling that
amazing.
Tune out. We will be with you next Sunday again at the same time, 2 o'clock.
Hopefully,
yeah. Please keep your fingers crossed. Otherwise, you can always catch up with us on Facebook and Instagram at Now Trending Show. Have a fabulous week, and we hope to see you next Sunday.